Off the Ball, GAA.
I think if everybody's been honest with themselves, you know, we would have went down to Dublin on the hope that we can ignite the thing again. But once we were beaten by Cork, I think we knew deep down that we weren't going to win in All Ireland.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan. I hope everybody out there is good. And I am joined by what we can now start to call my semi-regular new co-host. Daniel, how are you keeping?
Yeah, I'm keeping quite well. That was quite some game at Daly Mount. Ross Tierney sealing, you know, what's a really big win for Bowes. And they had to do it under the cosh as well. Losing Patrick Hickey to a red card in the first half. But overall, a really, really good game of football tonight between Bowes and Pats.
Yeah, that's for sure. Dan, I was watching it on TV myself. So we'll give a quick overview of the results overall just to get us up and running. And then we'll have a bit of a chat and start to get our listeners in for their own observations. So a reasonably comfortable win for Shamrock Rovers tonight, back to winning ways, a 3-1 win at home to Galway United. Derry City getting another good result with a 2-0 home win against Drogheda United. Probably the most amazing game of the night. Dundalk going 2-0 up against Waterford, only to then lose the game 3-2. A massive comeback for Waterford, who are well and truly, the fight is on for them in terms of trying to avoid relegation. The game that Dan is at and that a lot of us will have been watching on Virgin, I'm sure, Bowes 2, Pats 0. And our fifth game in the League of Ireland Premier Division isn't, of course, until tomorrow night with Sligo at home to Shelburne. In the first division, Athlone Town 1, Finn Harps 1. Cork City continue to romp to the title with a 2-0 win at home to Bray Wanderers. The ever-improving Kerry, as I now call them, seemingly every week, with a 2-1 win at home to Longford Town. Best of the rest, UCD, as they probably are in the first division, with a 2-0 win against fellow promotion playoff contenders called Ramblers. And the only nil-all of the night came down in Wexford, where it was Wexford 0, Treaty 0. So, Dan, back to you very briefly. A massive, massive 3 points for Bowes in a game that they showed a lot of grit, a lot of determination, probably outsmarted Pats, I think it's fair to say. And considering, I think it was only this night last week, there was a lot of heat on Alan Reynolds. Monday and Friday could hardly have gone any better.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was probably up there in that camp as well, particularly after that Dundalk game, and thinking that pressure was likely going to be put on Alan again. You'll probably have to excuse me as well, because I was doing the stadium announcing for Bowes this evening, so I'm actually only just leaving the stadium as we speak. I think, look, they've had a really, really big week to come and bounce back from, you know, I suppose the previous two defeats to beat Shelburne up in Talca Park 3-0 and then get a 2-0 win against St. Pat's. I think if you look at the stats in Dublin derbies, they were kind of stacked against us, or they have been stacked against us this season, so that was pretty big.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, we might keep the chat on this one going. We've gone this route before where we've brought in a fan of both sides just to get both reflections at the same time. We've managed to keep it reasonably civil when we've done it in the past so far. So we will we'll try it again here. I have JH is his Twitter name. JH, how are you?
I don't think he's there, is he?
Can you hear me? I can hear a bit of singing in the background, I think.
Yeah, that's from my end.
Sorry. So JH, we mightn't have JH, and wait till I see. Can you hear me, Anthony? Can you hear me, Anthony?
No, it was JH here, Shane.
JH, how are you keeping?
Not too good after that, Shane.
No, not too good. You're the Pat part of this conversation, and I was looking to get Anthony in as well. Can you hear me, Anthony?
I can, lads. Yeah, I can. I just was letting JH speak there because I know it's his first time on.
Fair play. Well, listen, we'll let JH out in front, Anthony. Fair play. Tell us, what did you make of that? Can't be a happy man tonight.
No, I thought the first half was a very good game. To be honest, that was end to end. I thought Pats might have shaded it chance wise with Cian Levy, and then the turning point was the penalty, which was never a penalty. Like, I was in the mono stand. I must give credit. It's one of the better away ends, to be fair. But I don't know, from your view, was it a penalty or not? It looked like it was to me, Shane.
Yeah, certainly Sean Hoare was very irate on it. So he felt that it was a dive. Look, you leave a leg hanging and you're probably asking for trouble, but I couldn't be definitive either way on it, to be honest with you. There's no point me claiming otherwise.
I'll jump in here and look, I'll be honest with you, it did look very soft. I thought overall tonight Rob Harvey's performance wasn't great. He was blown up for, you know, really, really soft decisions. So I can get a sense of how disappointed as a Pats fan you'd be, although, you know, they did have a man advantage starting up into the second half. I do sympathize because I didn't think that there was a huge amount in it for the penalty, but look, at you know, in football you have to take your chances, and you know, they came, but I felt overall Rob Harvey had a really poor performance tonight, and I think both sets of fans would probably agree.
Yeah, I'm watching it back here again, and unfortunately none of the TV angles were particularly good in giving a definitive on it. What I would say is there's certainly a delayed reaction in terms of his timing and going down, if there was any contact at all. What was your honest opinion on it from your angle, Anthony?
Yeah, it didn't look like much, to be honest. There's nothing I've seen since on the phone here that has changed my mind. The only thing I would say is, is Anto Breslin or Sean Hoare jumps in. If you're going to go to the ground and not get the ball, and you're against all these players that are flying around at the speed of light, you're leaving yourself way open. So for me, if you're not staying on your feet and you're diving in, you're not getting the ball, and you may not get the man either. You're leaving yourself open. The one for me is right before it, Tierney gets bundled over on the edge, if not inside the box, before he plays the pass inside, and that's definitely a free kick, if not a penalty. So maybe that plays in the referee's mind that he's playing an advantage already, and then he sees another touch, or he thinks he sees another touch. So that's where that goes. And to be honest, I thought Bowes shaded that first 20-25 minutes. Pats had two good chances, but I thought Bowes shaded the ball. They got their tactics right. They pinned Pats back a little bit, which you'd expect away from home. Pats were comfortable. Jamie Lennon was really good tonight. I was critical of him last year, but he was really, really good tonight. He was Pats' best player. He was everywhere. He never, like we were saying, if you're going to the ground and you're going to give away something, he didn't. He was up on his feet. He was forced to the ball. He was playing decent football when he was on the ball. So credit to Pats and Jamie Lennon, especially in the first half. Second half is obviously descending off, and I'll go with Daniel on that as well. I didn't think the officials had a great game. They got two or three small decisions wrong after Bowes scored. There was a corner that should have been given. The keeper made a great save. Young Rogers tipped it away, went out for a corner. Ref gave a goal kick, and straight from the goal kick, Hickey got sent off. Now, no arguments about the sending off. Was clumsy. He has that in his locker. He'd already given a sloppy back pass to give Pats half a chance. So, like, that sort of crept into the game a little bit. I would agree with Daniel and what he's saying is the officials didn't have a wonderful game. They got the smaller kind of decisions wrong. In terms of the ball going over the line there, like, when the ball hits the post, it does go backwards. So I don't know whether I can definitively say it doesn't go over the line. Initially looking at it, I was saying, no, that's a soft one. That looks like it's not a goal. But kind of looking back on it there, it kind of goes in off the post. And the goalkeeper's reaction, watch the goalkeeper's reaction. He's kind of not that disappointed when the goal is given. So it looks like he thought it was in as well. So that kind of indicates to me like it was closer than it maybe looked.
Yeah, that did strike me as well. I expected to see the keeper go mental because I really didn't think it was over the line, if I'm honest. And I expected to see the keeper go mental and more at the linesman and the referee and the whole lot. And he didn't, which made me wonder a little bit, all right. JH, just to go back to you there for a minute. I mean, this has happened too many times now this season where there's a little bit of an opportunity for you to really pile on the pressure, both that with Rovers dropping a couple of points and that again happened earlier in the season. It's happened again with them dropping the points on Monday night. You're looking at you being 6 points behind and two games in hand, and we're all hoping that you're going to give them a proper title race. Every time that opportunity seems to open up, you seem to trip over yourselves a bit.
Yeah, like that's fair enough. Like I thought we were better tonight against 11 men than 10 men. Like it was over and back, looking for a cross that was never on to be delivered to a man that's never going to finish it. Like we brought Aidan Keane on tonight, didn't do anything apart from balloon a few shots over and wide. Young Sam Rooney came on, it's promising. The good years are ahead of him. But yeah, we're just not taking our chances. Like it was, I think. At half time against 10 men tonight, I was like, yeah, look, we leave here with at least a draw. But just not putting the ball.
I think we lost you there, JH. Can you hear us?
And I was just going to come in there, Shane, and to be honest, up until Ross found the net in the 89th minute, I was having a conversation with somebody up in the press box, and I was thinking, you know, if anybody was going to score, and probably there was a spell, I'd say probably midway through the second half, and I was thinking if anybody was going to score here, it was probably going to be Patson. They had their chances. I'm hearing myself back three times.
You're coming through twice there for some reason. I'm not sure why that is, but go on. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I mean, Walter's made one or two very good saves. Didn't he? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying Walter's made one or two decent saves, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. And look, I thought both keepers actually, to be fair, you know, under pressure were very strong. Walters, like, you know, he's really taken his opportunity that he's got on, you know, the back of obviously Casper and you know, what's happened around there. Look, people have their views of, you know, whether he should have got married or not, or, you know, regardless of how long it was that he planned it and whatever. But look, to be fair to Walters, he's taken his opportunities and he's been quite sturdy and, you know, showing that actually, do you know what, like, here's the reason why you should be playing me, Rennie. So, yeah, I think he's been good. And yeah, to go back to your original point, I thought the Pats keeper made some really fine saves too. To keep them sort of in it, but yeah, look, on the face of it, a really, really good game. You know, that was on TV tonight, and I don't think many people would argue that was quite an entertaining 90 minutes of football.
I'd agree, Anthony. It's all about a developing a bit of a level of consistency with Gina, isn't it? It's your form is just ridiculous in the sense that every time we get carried away with you negatively, you bounce back with a couple of really good results. And every time we get carried away with your form being good, you bounce back. You bounce whatever the opposite to bouncing back is. You go in the opposite direction with a couple of poor results out of nowhere. Like if you could develop a level of consistency, maybe you're the ones to challenge overs rather than bats.
I know, like, so I'm gonna kind of, I don't know, in Alex Ferguson's books, he talks about how he become a good manager when he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's in the chambers of his brain. That was like me the last 3 weeks, and I'm waking up in the middle of the night going, how the fuck are we so good 1 week and I'm brilliant the next week? I don't know, like, maybe there's an argument for this. Like, Bo's backs were against the wall tonight. And for years, when they were backs against the wall, they're really good players, and they're up against it. They seem to struggle a little bit when the expectations are to go out and play well and win the game easily and comfortable. I don't know whether the backs against the wall mentality is what they need. Like, three footballing players in midfield, and they're able to spray the ball around against lesser teams that allow them to have the ball and sit deep, seems to be where they come unstuck. Whereas when they're up against it, and their away form this year was actually really good. They had the odd away blip, but on the most of their points are away from home. When they can sit in and they can break well, and they can kind of get them kind of runs off the ball where you're coming from deep, and the boy can pick the likes of Tierney and Parsons and Zane Myers and all out. And that was again tonight. It's just like typical Bows when their backs are against it. Nobody expects them to do anything. When the Noirs are out for Alan Reynolds from Monday night, like, all of a sudden then we're turning into prime Brazil again.
Yeah. And on the flip side, it's when things are going well that you start to get, like they're two terrific results in the last 5 days. And yet I would be looking at you playing Drogheda next Friday night, and I'd still find it hard to have a real level of confidence that I fully believe that you'll go and do it if you get me. Yeah, of course you're capable of it. But equally, none of us would be surprised if you went and slipped up there, because we've just seen it so often.
Yeah, but the reality is, like, if you're having a punt, you're not going to get on the back post next week against Drogheda because they call you a madman. So that's just the way you won't do it. But the other side of it is, Shane, if you look at the league table and you look at the losses and wins column in it, there's not that much difference between where Rovers are and where Bows are in terms of wins and losses. So the reality of it is that nobody's that consistent. Nobody's that consistent. It's just about how a draw turns into, or a defeat turns into a draw, or a draw turns into a defeat in the 90 odd minutes, in the championship minutes. I think that's the difference, and that's what Rovers have shown over the last while, is when they haven't been playing well, they've turned around and got the odd win in the last couple of minutes, and that's why they're a couple of points ahead of everybody else, because they have a little bit more consistency. That's not to say that, like, if you look at Rovers' form, there's plenty of bells in there as well as these. So, like, the bar isn't ultimate win. You're not looking at Man City, Liverpool scenario from 7 or 8 years ago. Like, that's not the case. It's the lesser of the games you can gather something out of, I think is the best way of putting it. So you don't have to be ultra consistent, and you're going to have bad spells in a league that has 10 teams and you figure each other out. But just one more point on what I've seen tonight and on Monday night, right? So last week against Dundalk, I was pulling my hair out because we seem to be going back to this kind of tree at the back and kind of ancillary fullbacks. Like, Darragh Power was playing like in a quarterback role out on the wide flank, and I just think all this sort of thing, we went on a huge unbeaten run at the start of the year, and we had a flat back four, was consistent, we knew what we were at. The other night, backs against the wall again, up to Tolka Park. What does he do? Senan Mullen comes back in, Power comes back in, and it's just a traditional four at the back, and everyone's working in front of them. And again, tonight, it was the very same thing up until the sending off. Obviously, Cian Bourne came in, which was seamless enough. Big kind of kudos to him. But for my thinking of it was, like, if you just go back and have the backs against the wall and play the players where instead of being trying to be too smart, I understand that you're going into games against teams every other couple of weeks and you have to try new things and be innovative. But if it's not working and your basic stuff isn't working for you, revert back to type and go to what you know is going to give you clean sheets, like we've seen for the last two games here again. So that's my take on that.
I did have an awful lot of sympathy, though, as well, for Harry Vaughan. Look, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, like, he's very much a sort of an informed player at the minute. And it was unfortunate with the way the sending off, you know, worked out that they had to make a substitution at the start of the second
half.
It's
always going to be the small creative player.
Yeah,
he was booked, wasn't he?
The what?
I think he was booked as well in the first half. He made a bit of a bad tackle on the edge of the box. So
yeah, Vaughan was as well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So like you're going to put yourself out there to be taken off. You're down to 10 men if you're booked already. Like
100%, particularly when you're up, you can afford to sacrifice your career. Anthony, fair play for jumping on. Super stuff.
No, but thanks, lads. Thanks for letting me talk to you.
Yeah, Anthony, take it easy.
Thanks, Daniel. Yeah.
Dan, he makes a really good point there as well, Anthony, in relation to the lack of consistency. If I put on my my geeky stats hat for a minute here, it's amazing. Like 24 games into the season, there's not a team in the league that's lost less than 20% of their games. Every team in this league has lost a minimum of 20% of their games so far this season. Like that's a crazy level of inconsistency, really, isn't it?
That's a crazy stat. I didn't realize that, but yeah. No, you're right though about the inconsistencies. I mean, it's something that sort of in my brain as a Bulls fan, I've you know had it programmed in the last while that okay, look, you know, you go and get a really good result, and then you know probably the Friday you're probably scrapping, and if you're getting a result, you're lucky. And I was really concerned coming into tonight on the back of, you know, it wasn't a perfect, like, I mean, obviously, look, 3-0 against Shelburne, it's a really, really good night. I still think that there was, like, it wasn't a, I don't think you could ever call it a complete performance, but then sort of going into tonight then on the back of that, and you're looking to build, and you've got European football around the corner as well, and then you know even further ahead you're into the cup, into the FAI Cup. I really was worried because it's not something that Bowes have been very good at in terms of, you know, building up that form. You get one good result, and then you know your next two are probably ones that you're scraping and you're frustrated, and you know it's not really a great watch. So that, I suppose, makes tonight all the more important. You know, two derby victories in less than a week is fairly good going.
Surely is. Speaking of inconsistency, let's turn our attentions to Derry. Marty, you're up and down like a yo-yo there at the moment, your emotions, I'd imagine. But thankfully, we're on the upside. We're on the upside again this week, so we are. Talk to us.
Good evening, lads. Yeah, thanks. Can I just touch on the league there? You were talking about the inconsistencies and stuff. I'm a fairly big stat geek myself. So if you look at the last two seasons, right? So Shelburne won at 62 points in 2024. And last year, Shamrock Rovers got 66 points. So you can actually win this league, right, by dropping either 42 or, in Shelburne's case, 46 points. And that's an incredible amount of points you can drop and win. So I do think fans, especially up in Derry, I've noticed they get very, very over. Like Derry, obviously, at this stage, you know, it would be right to get concerned. But, you know, I see a lot of clubs panicking a bit too early. Like the league has changed so much now with everyone going full time. It's so competitive. Teams are so close. There's teams in every team, like Waterford and the bottom have players that would get into any team in the league. So it's a bit like if you put the top 10 Premier League teams in a table and played each other four times. That's the kind of results and points totals you're getting.
Yeah, no, look, fair point. Talk to us on your own performance tonight.
Yeah, we were pretty good. Like, it was a bit scrappy, but it was much improved. And we started well enough, took the lead with a good goal. Did you see Cameron Dunbigan's goal? Absolutely incredible. Yes. Yeah, so Dunbigan
doesn't exactly do tap-ins,
Marty,
does he?
No, and what a player. To have him fit again is it's so good. I'd argue he's probably the most well-rounded number six in the league, I think.
Yeah, he's had a serious impact on your performances and results anyway since he's got back, hasn't he?
Yeah, like the likes of Dawson Devoy and all, who'd obviously be a bit better on the ball, but if you look at defensive ability as well, I think he is the best the most well-rounded, and I'm hoping that he can stay fit and show everybody that, because we know about it up in Derry.
The other thing with him, Marty, having worked with him at Dundalk, is he's a manager's dream. He is extremely low maintenance. He's a quiet fella who has a funny sense of humour, so he has, but is just extremely laid back. You know, give me my instructions, out I go, and I do no fuss. He's a manager's dream, so he's one that you have to try and keep fit and try and keep him the side from now until the end of the season without a doubt, his team.
Absolutely, yes, and hopefully that new pitch up there can help, because it was kind of well known that the Brandywell pitch didn't do him any favours, so let's hope that that's going to be a big plus. And then, look, the game was a bit back and forward then. Derry probably had the better of it, but Drogheda were dangerous enough to hit the bar and they'd won a few good chances. Doyle was very dangerous, but we sealed it then in the end on the break in the last minute. Duffy was very classy, showing he's still so dangerous, played in Amanda O'Reilly, and he sealed the game. So, yeah, good win, and it's been a good week. We were good down up in Tala as well there on Monday, so we're back.
Yeah, it certainly has been a good week. I literally only saw the clips of the goals from this one, and then I was looking at numbers. You reckon Drogheda actually showed a bit of trend? As I say, looking at the numbers, it appears they didn't have a shot on target, but I suppose they could have threatened without actually working the keeper a huge amount, was it?
Yeah, they hit the bar, as I said, and they also, Mark Doyle got into the back post, and, you know, it wasn't a clear-cut chance, but he definitely could have scored, and someone with his quality might have. But yeah, so like, it was just typical Drogheda, like kind of getting balls in the box, powerful and big. And, you know, everyone finds it hard to deal with that, and we did as well. But, you know, on balance of the game, definitely there, you deserve to win.
So to what extent is the pressure or heat coming off the manager?
Sorry, Shane, I lost you there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
I'm just wondering, to what extent is the pressure starting to ease off on the manager?
Oh, there'll be no ease off. Like, most fans will never kind of take him back. Look, maybe if he won a few leagues in a row, but it probably won't get to that point. So I don't think there's much of an ease in there. There won't be, as I said, most fans won't ever change their opinion. Most fans didn't want him in the first place. You know, as I've mentioned before, if you're from outside of Derry, you're on the back foot to begin with anyway. And he did do a good job last year, but in fairness, this year it hasn't been good enough at all. Like, I'm not going to defend him. Like, that's what, 6 wins from 25%.
The overall season numbers aren't good. I suppose I'm looking and I'm saying 7 points out of the last possible 12 is a bit of an improvement. But obviously, it would need to be maintained. I mean, you certainly have to be beating Waterford at home next week. And in saying that, you certainly have to be beating them. At the same time, I would be saying that is going to be no walk in the park, given the bounce and improvement they've had.
Oh, you're dead right. And even tonight, like, just to touch back on the game, like, we kind of did that thing we do too often where we did go 1-0 up and kind of just took the foot off the gas completely. Like, and that's how they get a few sniffs at it. So we just have to cut that out. In fairness tonight, though, like, you're probably saying we've missing so many players and we've let a few players go for like 3 weeks before the transfer window opens, which is a bit mad, but we are bare bones. Like, on Paladair on Friday night, on Monday night, we had 15-year-old playing, 17-year-old and stuff. So you have to give a few points for getting the 4 points with such a lack of players.
And Marty, look, if you're thinking that, you know, that the right thing to do is to still get rid of Tiernan. I mean, have you had a chance or a sense of you know, sort of figuring out where Derry go after that and who potentially they look at and where they get that person from?
Not really. Like, I personally, like, I'd appoint, I try and get John Caulfield up. I think he's probably the only available manager with league winning, cup winning experience as a manager and a player.
Joey,
I think
he's O'Brien. Still. No, I'm joking with that, by the way.
No, thanks. Look, Joey could still go on and be a great coach, you know, but I think we need someone with that kind of vast experience. And Caulfield's probably the only man apart from maybe Stephen Bradley, who obviously not going to come up to Derry. I'd go for Caulfield, or I'd maybe go overseas to someone like Neil Lennon, if we could. You need someone with that big pressure experience. Bringing up Kilduff, everyone's calling, people are calling for Kilduff and all, like, but he still has so much to do in his career, I think, before he'd be able to manage a club the size of Derry now. The Derry job has become so, so big with the pressure and all. There's more of a desperation up there to win a league now. It's not even a hunger anymore, and that pressure is crushing on managers. That's what like Tiernan's feeling now, and he's pretty experienced himself.
I don't know how Galway United would feel about you claiming their manager is available.
Just them. No, I'm just saying, if I was the chairman, that's who I'd make a play on for sure.
You'd headhunt him to go after him.
Yeah, look, he might be interested, you know, but, you know, I certainly think he's, if you're looking at realistic options within the league at the minute, I think he'd be the best. Now, his football wouldn't go down well to Brandywell, but for me, I just care about wins and winning stuff, so I wouldn't bother me, like, but yeah, he'd be the man.
Yeah, again, a positive result next weekend, you know, really, really fucking massive into the two European games, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, in fairness to the chairman, he hasn't listened to the fans. Like every fan is for big noise to trying to get him out. Like, and it's getting, like, you know, I don't mind saying project hasn't worked, make a change. But it does get a bit personal with a lot of people. But yeah, like, it won't turn around for him. Like, you know, people have given up on him completely. And you know, most people won't change their opinion once they go that far on it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I do think change would be good. In my opinion now, like, I think, I don't know, there's no, like, this is an insider info or anything, but I think he's staying on to a certain point. I think they do have something lined up. You know, it wouldn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that he's still there, like, you know. Even, you know, if you listen to Off the Ball Show and stuff, the League of Ireland pod, you never hear Vinnie Peart saying a manager should be gone, but that was his first ever call, he said, and stuff like that. So it makes absolutely no sense how he's still in the job. Like the chairman himself came out at the start of the season and said that the target is to win the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's well out of reach already, and we're not even in July. So
yeah,
I'm wondering, has he agreed to stay on for till a certain point or something?
Yeah, interesting. July is a bit. I'm looking here. July is a bit of a mad month for you. Actually, you play Waterford on the 3rd of July. And then your next league game is on the 31st of July because of the European games and because of the FAI Cup. So again, just the importance of
who's gone.
Sorry? Can you hear me, Marty?
Yeah, that was Dan.
No, sorry, yeah.
Shane, can you hear me?
I can, Dan. Can you hear us?
I think, have we lost Shane?
Oh, I can hear him.
must be my side. Apologies.
We can hear you, Marty, but obviously he can't hear me for whatever reason.
Yeah. I can hear you, Shane. Go ahead.
Fair. Oh, listen, I let you go on that one, Marty. Fair play for giving us a shout again.
No worries, lads. Thanks for having me.
Okay, later.
The rest, bye-bye.
I'm not sure if you can hear me, Dan, at the moment, can you? No, obviously not. So I'm going to bring in Toby, who must be the happiest man on Late Night League of Ireland, I would think, after a phenomenal comeback against a team who are one of the most informed team in the league. It all looked like it was going according to script. Dundalk, flying form, 2-0 up at home. Surely it's 3 points in the bag. And then, no, we have probably the most dramatic comeback of the season so far, Toby, was it?
You right, Jay? How was the crack?
I'm good. Not as good as you, I'd say.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's been brilliant, though. What a comeback.
Tell us about it.
Basically, the game's obviously gone the way. Dundalk were good for, like, the first, like, 20 minutes. Dundalk dominated us. Like, we had a few chances at the start, you know. Then Dundalk made it 1-0. Then from there, Dundalk just dominated, and obviously they got the second goal. And then they were just dominated. We had a few periods in the first half, but Dundalk had better periods. And then Lonergan got the goal just before half time, which barely went over the line, by the way. It was close, it was close not to be over the line, but it got in, and obviously that gave us momentum at half time. And then the second half, we came out flying. It's like the the manager just said, keep pushing, and they just did from there. So Dundalk had a good few chances, during the game, but it was kind of a game of two halves in a way.
Yeah, listen, an absolutely outstanding comeback. I saw the winner for you, and it didn't surprise me, Toby, the manner of it. I've commented on here before that having watched you recently, I thought the size of your some of your defenders, they're massive, massive men, and every time they come up, the new manager has decided that all throws are going to be trying to capitalize on, and that's what it came from, wasn't it? A long throw in. I think he got a flick on the first one. John Mann latches on to the second one. It's, you know, this is why I think you're in with a real shout, is you're able to score good goals like Tommy Lonergan's one. But I also think you've got a serious set piece threat for the rest of the season off of corners, frees, and throws.
Well, yeah, because we do have a few tall defenders in there. And that's what the new manager did, to be fair. Give the long throws to like the players, because the tall players risky are the ones who are going to get it. John Daly, obviously, he tried his best, obviously, but he didn't really do that in a way. Since Cochrane came in, he's been doing it much more. The long throws and everything.
For sure. You must be starting to really, really believe that's on. Now 2 points to Sligo. I know they have a game in hand, but it's a tough one tomorrow night against Shelburne. And then Drogheda, 5 points as far as Drogheda now. You have to be starting to believe that what, let's be honest, when the manager came in, you're kind of looking and going, well, you know, he would certainly want to have an 18-month contract here or even longer, because it really looked like it was going to be too much of an escape act for any manager to get you out of it. But to be fair to him, it's very much on now.
Well, yeah, but look, at the end of the day, he has experience in doing it, though. He's done it before in England, which, you know, I think it was Boston, you know, something like that. He's done it before, though. And I know League One is a complete different league to England, but the fact, we are starting to believe in it, to be honest. We are. It's just we have to take it game by game. You know? The games will run out soon, though.
Yeah, and a long trip coming next Friday night, so that won't be a simple one. But no, you're giving us a relegation fight that we thought we might have, Toby. That's for sure. Fair play for jumping on, Toby.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks, Dale.
Talk to you again.
I think
you might be back with us, Dan. Are you?
I am. Yeah, just my connection dropped. Apologies for that.
No panic at all. Come here on that. Watford, they're making a serious fist of this, aren't they?
They really are. And like, I remember even like at half time, you know, when you read out the scores from around the ground, I was doing the stadium announcement in Daily Mail tonight, and you're reading the scores and you're looking and you're thinking, okay, well, that's advantage Dundalk at that point. And I just kept looking down at the Connect app to see how that match was going. And I was shocked. I was really, really shocked at how Waterford managed to pull that out of the bag. Really, really impressive. And especially given, like, last Friday, Shane, we were talking about, you know, how good Dundalk had been and what a job what a job that they'd done there. And it just, you know, a week later, we're kind of thinking, Jesus, you know, how did that happen?
Yeah, no, look, it's, as I say, it's an upset. But I, you know, when you've got two strikers of that quality, plus you have a big set piece threat, I think they'll go all right for the rest of the season. It's. I think they will pick up points. The thing they obviously can't control. I've been in these shoes, Dan. I was Galway United manager when we had an outstanding second half of the season, but because the teams ahead of us kept winning, we still ended up going down. And that's the problem Waterford are going to have. They can control their own destiny, but the only way they can take points off of Sligo and Drogheda is when they're actually playing against Sligo and Drogheda. Like, it wouldn't take a complete miracle for Sligo to turn around and win again tomorrow night. They've shown the ability to pull out results like that when their backs against the wall, and then all of a sudden Waterford are looking at a bit of a mountain to climb again. But listen, they can only do their side of the equation, can't they?
And you know what? Yeah, you know, you're right. You're spot on, Shane. And like what you also got to think of as well, and I think you just you hinted on it there towards the end of the last caller there, was that, look, you know, Sligo and Shells tomorrow is a massive match. And you would think that given the last week and given the week that it is with, you know, Joey being sacked and everything like that and at Shells, that, you know, if you're Sligo, you're thinking like you've got to be licking your lips at the situation. It's a huge one for them to, you know, sort of keep Waterford at bay, because it was something that we spoke about towards the end of the discussion last week, was, you know, were Waterford going to be good enough to be able to drag Sligo into that relegation battle. But I think, you know, with everything that's gone on, if you're a bit of red, you're quite confident with Shells coming to you tomorrow.
Yeah, listen, on that, absolutely perfect time to bring in Shane Kennedy. Shells, as we say, weren't playing tonight, not playing until tomorrow night away to Sligo. But that's not to say that we don't have any talking points for Shane, is it? Shane, how are you?
Yeah, I think saying last week on the tongue in cheek, we're not that close, but that's what I was a bit surprised now, to be honest.
the trip went around a bit.
before we go into Shells, just I don't know if he had touched on just a few points here as well. Marty, I love Marty, he's a top lad, but seems to be changing the tune there with his old stats, doesn't he? And that was never a penalty. It was never over the line. And I think it's time to bring in VAR into the league, lads, in some capacity.
I don't know
if you're bringing in hydration breaks. Now, to be fair to the hydration breaks tonight, it stopped goalkeeper going down injured, so I'm all for that. It's pretty much the same thing. But the VAR has to come in, like, just a simplistic VAR to say, is this conclusive? Is it not conclusive? Doesn't need the lines drawn or any of that nonsense. We're never going to have that in the league. But that ball didn't look over the line to me in a million years, and I think one look at the L screen shows that. Obviously, you can't go off Virgin's camera angles for the penalty, but it didn't look it to me, but just to throw it out there, and draw it are awful, by the way. I forgot to say that last week. They're in serious, serious trouble.
Shane, you'll be delighted to hear that very, very new. I see a very neutral voice here tweeting. Bohemians, I was going to call him CEO. I don't think he is CEO anymore, is he? Daniel Lambert says he happened to be standing on the tramway terrace behind this, and it was over the line. So, I'm sure we can all trust that.
It made no difference to the match, but I don't comprehend how it went. I'm be so clear about that, though. And the other thing is, if Joey O'Brien deserves to be sacked for Monday's performance, Stephen Kenny deserves a similar bout after that performance tonight, lads. That was awful.
God, yeah, that's two incredible shouts from Shane there tonight. I mean, like,
Even the substitutions, Jimmy Brown was disgraceful. Taking off like for like was, I don't know if you have any Pats fans on, but I watched it tonight and the substitutions, Kenny's performances when they've had a chance to catch Rovers and put pressure on Rovers this season has been nothing short of awful. They've won games where they've been comfortably, like, kind of no pressure on them, but tonight there was pressure to put on Rovers, and with 10 men, they offered absolutely nothing. Before we touch on anything else.
And even though, like, I mean, look, this could be a thing. Look, obviously, Bowes needed that tonight to go second. Like, that race for second could be really tit for tat. But should that not earn him a little bit?
And Kenny?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm just tongue-in-cheek. I'm just joking. He's obviously not going to be. Jesus. But I said last week, Joey's contract was too much, never mind Kenny's, that's 10 times as much though. But I was just throwing out a few suggestions. I don't know if past fans have been on or Charter fans have been on, but just so he's talking about. But we'll finish that and get back to us now.
So go on, give us your hit list for who you'd like to see coming into the role.
No, I'd just like to say, firstly, I've said it on here before about people that win as the league, it's hard to criticise them and come on and say you're happy this and stuff like you know, say stuff like that. God, I was sound like Joey now after listening to him for so long. I don't know if you're watching, that's one of his phrases, stuff like that though. But you have to thank the man for what he's done for us. Like, you know, people are like criticising him or whatever, which is from a performance this year, but he came in and was a big part of our defensive performance and winning the league, and then came in at a crucial time for us to kick on into Europe. And people slag us for the old infield draw, but I think that Rijeka game was massive in terms of giving the kind of confidence to go on and say, right, we've done this at an elite level in terms of being higher than the League of Ireland. And that gave us the belief and the performance to put the run together, I think, at the back end. Even Carabag was solid, no performance, bar a 5-10 minute spell. So you have to thank him. And as Marty said, it's never personal. So me wanting him to go during the year, it's not personal. You just want what's best for the club. And but yeah, I just wanted to say that before I touch on.
Very fair point. And I think most reasonable, level-headed Shells fans would be saying very, very similar to you. I mean, Joey always conducts himself in a very admirable manner, that's for sure. And I would say we will almost definitely see him back. It'd be interesting to see where he pops up, but I would think we would almost definitely see him back. So I think he has a lot to offer. But yeah, moving it on to the replacement conversation. What's the talk around the place, or what's your own?
I'll tell you what, there's different talks and newspapers and stuff. But as Marty said, the John Caulfield show was awful. If we're looking at the league, I kind of had a brief chat with him. I didn't ask him today, but a man from the league, which I think is seriously undervalued, and is the brains behind probably the most entertaining side to watch at times in the league. Stevie O'Donnell. I think he's the brains behind Bowes, to be honest with you. If you're talking within the league, if you're going overseas and you want to go with Stephen Rice or Jim Crawford, fair enough though. But one man in the league that doesn't get the credit is Stevie O'Donnell. For me, I thought he won the Cup of Hats, took him to second. I thought he left that probably with a false promises at Dundalk. And it didn't really deliver, but I think for me, if you watch Bowles, I think it's all Stevie O'Donnell.
You'd be happy enough to see him
rock
up free, you would?
Well, no, I'm just saying, that's who I would want. I don't know, probably wouldn't get on too well with Bowles fans or whether he'd even take it, but within the league, I think he's one of the best managers/coaches in the league. But overseas, I don't know, but the timing was right, to be honest, to answer the question, like in terms of was it the right decision? I think it definitely was, that performance. I don't know if you watched Monday, it is just that was.
I watched Monday, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it did, Dan, yeah. Overseas, Shane, sorry, I don't know. Stephen Rice has mentioned, I seen someone say, would he leave Brentford? But he's not a Keith Andrews. He doesn't have the international/English football and playing pedigree, so I think he would if he wanted to, but I think I saw it was not rumoured to happen or something, but overseas you wouldn't know. But
it'd be an interesting one, Dan, wouldn't it? He's I did one or two bits with him before. I had him on for a coaching podcast I used to do, and I did find him intriguing, really, really clued in fella. And yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with Shane. I know you can look and say, Jesus, he's involved at the Premier League level in England. Why would he walk away from something like that? But I don't know, when you're involved in the game and you've got your own coaching ideas and your own ideas on how you'd like to go about things, when an opportunity to go and actually prove yourself comes along, I think it'll tempt him.
Yeah, and I don't think you're wrong, and I don't think Shane's wrong either. I think he'd be a great choice. It'd be like Shane said, whether or not he'd be in a position to leave there. But as you said, look, it's for him, if he wanted big jobs down the line, as a main man, look, there's probably no better place to come to get your experience in that, you know. And like, he knows the league, he knows, you know, the setup. I don't think that's a bad shout, to be honest.
Yeah, and Shane, like, I do think you've good structures at the club now. You know, it is well financially supported. Like, it's and this goes back to what you've said about Joey and Damien as well, obviously. To me, it's a far more attractive role now than it was a couple of years ago. You know, there's just been so much good work done at the club over the last few years that you are now in a position to really go after prime candidates, aren't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah. You're obviously taking the gamble outside the league, though. It's just whether you can entice them to back. But I would like to take a chance. I don't think Kev Doherty, Tim Clancy, any of these lads are at the level of, like, we've come from the gaffer, like, you know, that's what we've come from 2 years ago. It's hard to go back. So I think which is maybe something that the owners didn't think of at the time, but obviously it worked out. But going from the gaffer to Kev Doherty within 2 years, and I love Kev, like, but it would be a big step back, like, in terms of ambition, and can you get further past the league in a sense. But yeah, that's where I think they're probably looking like they're going to go overseas, and I couldn't tell you who they're looking at if that is the case. Like,
tell me, in terms of Larkin stepping in for tomorrow night's game, how do you think that'll go?
I'm hoping he plays Rossi. I think it's been one of Joey's downfalls, is kind of Rossi's been there, and I know he's there since till July. But in the sense of, like, he's in your squad, like, and every time he's played, he's been unbelievable. But because he's gone, and, like, you don't want to risk pissing off people. Here's about 1 second. Thank you. You don't want to risk pissing off people. Sorry. So you don't play him, but he's been part of nearly, like, I think nearly every clean sheet of ours bar one, which was a home to Sligo. So I think he would have dealt with a lot of our set pieces if he had played. So I'm hoping when the Larkin just goes to win the game and doesn't worry about anything else. But he's a true Redman, I suppose. He's been there for a number of years, won at the league a few years ago.
Yeah, safe. I look, you're certainly be firm favourites in that one. But again, as we spoke earlier, this league is quick to make a fool of you, so it is, in terms of making concrete predictions. Shane, we'll chat again next week. It'll be interesting to see how the manager in place by the time you're heading to play Dundalk, home to Dundalk, I think, aren't you?
I think so. I'm not actually sure. I'm kind of just focused on what happened and then the European thing. Before I go, Shane, it was the query question from a manager's point of view. If the Waterford manager keeps Waterford up, Killer gets Dundalk into Europe, even if it's through Ford, or if Bradley wins the league, who would you give manager of the season?
I love questions like that, but usually because I'm the one poking them, so you're right, you put me on the spot. But I think I'd probably go with Killer. I think it's the biggest overachievement of the three. I mean, Stephen probably suffers from the success that he has created, in that he's done such a good job. We now just expect him to win the league. Coughlin would have done a serious job if he keeps him up, but I suppose it's probably half a season's work. I'd go with Kilduff. I think he's done a brilliant job. That'll be a real blow for them tonight, though, Shane. He will not be happy with that. Like, that shouldn't be happening. No. If he does manage to rectify it again and get them into Europe, I think I'd probably be just giving him the nod.
Absolutely, yeah. Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Fair play, Shane.
All the best, Shane.
Thank you.
Dan, your own thoughts on that same question?
I mean, look, if Bowes finish second and win the cup, I mean, you'd be throwing Rennie's name into that equation as well. No, but I'm joking on that. I think you're spot on. Look, I said it last week how how much I was surprised by, you know, just how good Dundalk had been to start the season. And, you know, yeah, look, if you get that equation around and they finish within one of the European spots, then, yeah, I think you have to give it to them, don't you?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Listen, jumping forward to next Friday night, where hopefully we'll have everybody who was on tonight back on with us again, just to quickly run through the fixtures. Derry City at home to Waterford United. Drogheda at home to Bowes. St. Pat's at home to Galway United. Sligo Rovers at home to Shamrock Rovers in the Battle of the Rovers. And Shelburne at home to Dundalk, which probably strikes me as the tastiest of the Premier Division fixtures. In the First Division, we have Bray Wanderers at home to Athlone. Cove Ramblers at home to Cork City. Finn Harps at home to Wexford. And Treaty United at home to Kerry. So, interesting set of games for us to review again next Friday night. Hopefully we'll have yourself on again, Dan. Thanks for everything tonight again, Dan.
No worries at all, Shane.
Super stuff. Good night, everybody.
Off the Ball Daily.